Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 286, part 1, Promise 8. Today is Friday, April 5th, 2013.
There must be some way out of here, said the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine, plowmen dig my earth. None of them along the line know what any of it is worth. The thief, he kindly spoke. There are many here among us who feel that life is but a joke. But you and I, we've been through that, and this is not our fate. So let us not talk falsely now, the hour is getting late. Tower, princes kept the view, while all the women came and went, barefoot servants too. Outside in the distance, a wild cat did growl. Two riders were approaching, the wind began to howl.
Today's tape will be entitled Promise 8. Knowing. If anyone is willing to do his will, he shall know. If anyone is willing to do his will, he shall know. Now, Friday we ministered on Psalm 11 and 3. The pillars of the state are falling. What good can a just man do? I think it's very appropriate for this time when our very few of the patriots are patriotic. We're seeing it on TV right now. Let me stop here before we go on and read verses 1 and 2 of the Psalm 11. In the Lord shall I put my trust. How say ye to my soul? Flee as the bird to your mountain. For lo, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. I looked at this TV program with the congressman, so on, you probably heard the Contra affair. The pillars of the state are falling. What good can a just man do? Well, you see someone that's dedicated and loyal, steadfast, always abounding in the faith. Funny that it has to come, the lesson has to come from the world. That loyalty has to come from the world. There's a higher calling. (Laughs) And I thought how good you must feel, Oliver North. And we have something in common because we're Oliver North down here. That's our address. Think about it. How wonderful to see someone stand in the face of fire. Now, wonderful it is. God says, I'll raise up those to confound the wise. I'll show Christians how they should act towards one another. I'll show them how to be faithful. I'll teach them it's not right to backbite, to be a spy in the camp. And I thought, well, we're going to be called before courts. Worry not what you're to say. In the hour of need, I'll give you what to say. See, when you're just and your heart is right, you don't have to worry about what you're going to say because it'll come out right. But when you're trying to cover, when you're trying to go both ways with a friend, or with a ministry, or with a government, it all comes out wrong. Because everything that is hidden will be put in full view. And I thought, oh, my. Now, I've been questioned before myself on a lot of things. It seems like people just take advantage. You know, preachers, you know what I'm talking about. And if you have any kind of popularity at all in government, maybe you have a position in your job where you're open to scrutiny, then it seems like people have a right to come and ask you ungodly questions, terrible questions. But if your heart is right, it doesn't matter. People are waiting for someone that will stand up and be counted. That in the face of adversity and all kinds of trials and tribulations, which we all, of course, have, we'll stand. And all glory to God. What a good feeling it is when you do stand and God gives you the victory. Now, giving you the victory isn't a big thing. Being faithful is the big thing. God isn't going to say, welcome in, good and victorious servant, with your armor on and blood all over you. Well done, good and faithful servant. To seemingly win all the time is not the big thing. It's how you feel in your heart about what you have done. Yeah, the pillars of the state are falling. What good can a just man do? A lot. And so these very verses contain thoughts of temptation to distrust God, with which I think David greatly exercised many times in the Bible. He's always arguing with God. He always came out right. Some were telling him to take off from Saul. He doesn't like you. I mean, he wants you out of the way. Save yourself. Parallel there. Or, again, was it a lie from his friends? Sometimes friends lie to you. Sometimes they want to get you out of the way. Was it a trap, like the one they laid for Nehemiah? Nehemiah, even the people you work with are going to stab you in the back. Were they trying to make him go AWOL so they'd have something against him? And so David says, in the Lord shall I put my trust. How say you to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? Come fly away with me. You remember that song? See, when Satan cannot destroy us by presumption. What do you mean by that? Well, you presume this might happen and that might happen, and you want to go into this business deal or whatever, and I have to talk to everybody when I'm ministering to radio. And they say, don't do this because, and then they start to work on presumptions. You presume this or that might go wrong. Where you're going on a trip. Oh, what if a hose breaks? Or what if a belt breaks? Or what if we have a flat tire? What? And you presume yourself right into defeat. Well, what if the people aren't along with you? What if they aren't with you? That's all presumption. And so I say again, when Satan cannot destroy us by presumption, how craftily he will seek to destroy us and ruin us by distrust. And so you don't trust in yourself anymore. We need to teach people to trust in the Lord and trust in themselves. Why is it when you're training someone that they've gone all the way through the training, and then just about ready, when they're ready to graduate, they sort of fail. They don't trust in themselves. And you say, how can this be that they've gone all this way and then all of a sudden they're making foolish mistakes? They hate to leave the nest. They hate to grab a hold and trust in the Lord. It's an opportunity then to witness. And it happens all the time. We're all that way, really. Aren't we? Do you know of someone like, anybody in here know of someone like that? I know everybody's like that, really. We all go by presumption. Well, I better presume this. I just presume trouble coming my way. What if? And so Satan will then employ our dearest friends, even family, to argue us out of our confidence. Did you ever have someone try to argue you out of your confidence? You're confident in what you're doing, and then they try to argue you out of it. Well, I'll presume this, and presume that, and presume this. Happens all the time, you know. And I bring up this Oliver North, and because it's so related to the times. Isn't it? Couldn't he presume this and presume that? And how easy it is to turn the tables and say, Congressman so-and-so, I hear say that you did this or you did that. Is that true? Of course not! Well, would you mind summing it up? Can you prove it? And methinks the world is seeing that very thing happening to themselves when they look at this situation. Hey, God is turning all things to good. All things are working together for good. Pretty soon they'll have t-shirts out with Ollie Power on them. Got every other kind of power. Don't we? Italian power, Greek power, black power, Chinese power, Ali power. How many are hearing this? But I said he will employ our very dearest friends to cause us or argue us out of our confidence. And they'll use very plausible logic. I wonder how many people were trying to talk these two men out of standing up. See, but when public opinion came that way and votes were involved, then everybody was smiling. Would you mind answering a few questions? The whole atmosphere changed. Who do you think was in that courtroom? I call it a courtroom. Why God was in that courtroom? We are in the end of the very end of the age. The fulfilling of prophecy is happening right now. World events. But they'll use very plausible logic. And Satan will try to make us like the timid bird. Hurry up, he says. They are fixing their arrows. Hurry up, you're going to be shot. But you see, God's foundations are sure. His word never fails. The pillars of the state are always on the verge of falling, aren't they? Aren't governments all over the world always on the verge of falling? And so God gives him a counter question. To what can the righteous do? He gives him a counter question. What cannot they do? What can't you do? That's a good question. What can one righteous man do? What can one loyal person do? What can't you do? Well, that's what God says. And so when we argue with God, how am I going to get out of this? Well, it seems like everybody is against, and there's so many spies in the camp, and there's so much this going on. I say, don't worry about that. Don't worry about what you can't do, but what you can do. What can you do? Well, I can pack a bag. Well, it doesn't seem like much, but it's better than not packing a bag. Well, all I can do is go down and help on Saturday with the produce run. Well, that's better than not helping, isn't it? Isn't it? See, we can either add to the cause or we can take away from the cause. Oh, I can't do much. Well, doing a little is a lot better than doing nothing. It might even lead you into packing two bags or going on two runs or getting involved. It doesn't matter if you just do that one thing. That's great. If you're faithful in the small things, the Bible says. And so we're looking all over for faithful people. And when someone is faithful, we applaud them. We put them on our t-shirts. We cut our hair. Now they got the Ollie haircut. Friends, the world is looking for a leader, a savior, and he's about to come. But also it's the time of the coming of the Antichrist. And he will defeat through slander and lie. And the tearing down. And you know what? The world is sick of it. They are looking for the gospel of Jesus Christ and are not looking for no flotation people anymore. See, when prayer engages God on our side, and that's what David is doing here, even with these questions. And when faith secures the fulfillment of the promise, what cause is there to run? Where will you run to? Oh, we've sold our boats. Where do we go now? And so David starts to remember the slingshot and the stone and the giant. And the running Philistines. And he goes back. I've trusted in God all this time. Why should I put my trust in something else? And so there becomes no word such as impossibility in the faith language. Because faith stands and fights and it never runs. It never has a hasty retreat or a flying away to a mountain. Friends, we must certainly see that prophecy is being fulfilled through people, whether you like them or not. Did you ever stop to wonder why everything in this administration is going through and going on? Because it's a fulfillment of prophecy, not because of people, but in spite of them. I mean, it goes on. Did you ever wonder who turned all of the tables in this contra hearing? We are headed towards the battle of Armageddon. It is a time to become simple and walk in simple faith. No, I used to get into those discussions, and sometimes when we go out for coffee or whatever, we love to just give our opinions. Why not just keep it simple? Why debate such an honest, simple truth, the gospel of Jesus Christ? Keep it, I remember this was 12 years ago, the Lord spoke to me when I become very knowledgeable in the word. Spiritual. Able to discern things at 150 yards. Quick draw on the word. And God spoke to me, he says, keep it simple, stupid. Well, let me back it up with scripture so that you don't get too offended. When you think you know something, know nothing at all, the Bible says. Be stupid. Saving, knowing Christ, and the cross, and the blood, the burial, the resurrection. And so let's leave Psalm 11 and 3. The pillars of the state are falling. What good can a just man do? Where that we said God's mercies are not called swift, but sure mercies of David. Is sure to come. See, the Bible says the Lord is not slow, but his timetable is perfect. And so then perhaps the time of the promise has not yet come because our trial has not yet been fulfilled, let's say, in its design. Do you think God has designs on you? Well, the devil has. Why not God? We also said, before I close this verse out. The chastening must answer its purpose or it cannot be brought to an end. And so we start to see, finally, I believe, there is much talk, and we know about knowing the will of God, a lot of that lately. What is the will of God? For God's sake, what is the will of God? For God's sake. Here's a promise out of John 7 and 17. If anyone is willing to do his will, he shall know. If anyone is willing to do his will, it doesn't leave any excuses.
Oh, yeah, but golly wow, look at, they don't want to go along with me, Onward Christian Soldiers. Look at a whole bunch of them laughing.
They ain't got nothing to do with it. It's talking to you. Personally, if anyone, if the gang, if the group, if the rut-ta-ta-ta-ta, if the flute and the drummer and the flag carrier are along your side, no, anyone is willing to do his will, he shall know what the will of God is. And so then you don't have nothing to worry about. I mean, you can look right in the face of the enemy and say, I know the will of God is to do this. What this one thing I do, no matter what it is, preacher, don't get pulled away from what you are supposed to do. And don't make up your supposed to do's. See, it's easy to preach to people, but to lead them, that's another thing. Commitment isn't there. Well, I'll come when I feel like coming, and I'll go when I feel like going. But I will not commit any set time to you. You say that to the Lord? Whew. Let's look at Solomon. And the Lord gave Solomon wisdom as he had promised. Well, did he give it to him? Yes, he did. All the great men of the Bible dared to believe God, and they went through trials. David believed God and slew the giant. Jacob, he wrestled an angel. Solomon became the wisest. Samson, it says, slew 1,000 Philistines with the jaw of a jackass. Abraham became the father of many nations. He jumped the gun, but he still was a promise. He didn't go on his jumping the gun. I believe God and he saved me. I believe God's promises to me and he has kept them. I think we must preach in such a way, preachers, that people once again trust in the Lord and not in some prophet or prophetess or someone said this or someone or public opinion. How easily we are swayed by the mass. What people might think. Who cares? It's what God thinks. Isn't it, in the end? And so I think we must turn people towards trusting in the Lord, love the Lord, and stand on the promises. I think it's time to warn the legalists over and over and over again not to stand in the door with self-righteous, filthy robes on, plugging up the entrance, preaching doubt about the free gift of God, preaching doubt about the promises, and not until people fully receive the good news. The promise of eternal life. Will the confusion stop? Bible cautions us. Woe to you who pervert the gospel. Let them, it says, be anathema. Let them go to hell. I'm talking about the simple but the unfathomable grace of God. Of course, when people fully dive into the grace and God's promises, they begin to see that they are under grace and not under law. You remember when you first learned to swim and you swam way out? That's my thing, swimming. And you swam way out there. You thought, man, I'm way out there. And then the voices were real. Could you barely hear them out there on the shore? And they looked like they were about this tall. Kind of like flying. And everything looked so distant. Now you're out there all by yourself. In order to really learn the grace message, you got to dive in to deep waters and swim out into troubled waters and just lay on your back. It's not the law. Jesus says, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees, you won't make it. A person who has not fully received the full grace of God cannot understand it. I really worry over the legalist. Are they really saved? Let's put the shoe on the other foot here. The legalists are so good at saying, well, are you sure the grace people are really saved? Seems like they have a lot of trouble. I notice that they're letting their hair grow a little longer. They're going to hell for sure. Well, what do you do with the guys that don't have any hair? I don't have any choice. Where do I go? Huh? Sounds stupid and silly, but it's really the truth. The legalist puts everything, and if you got to do this, you got to do that, and so on like that, and they take the grace message, and they take the power of the blood and the cross and the resurrection, and they take all of the rights away from God, and they say, this is the way you got to be. You got to be like us, and then you'll go to heaven. And I'm not so sure they're going to go. If they do, they'll be up there with paper hats on and little diapers and Nike tennis shoes with no laces in them. Because that isn't what the Bible calls for. You can have all those things, but if you don't have love, and love covers a multitude of sins. Well, you're telling people to go out and sin. No, I'm telling them that the Bible says, let God be true, all men are liars. Liar, liar, liar. Huh? Come on now. Until we fully appreciate how we have fallen, we'll never look up to see that the grace of God is the only thing that can get you in. Let's stop taking the world, let's say, to court. How do you plead? Don't always argue a point. Give a solution. Bible says they are already judged. They need to be de-judged. They need to be forgiven. They need to hear the great gospel of Jesus Christ, and we need to offer them an alternative, a way out. Judging won't do it. Jesus said, I didn't come to judge. I came to save sinners. Are you one? No, we keep the law perfectly. Well, then you won't be saved. But also, let's be honest. Let's not preach flesh pleasers. Let's preach, be content whatever state that you're in, rich or poor. And of course, this must be learned by experience. Yes, there are trials, and yes, there are tribulations. So I think our Christianity has become diseased in some way. Kitchen prophets. oh, I see this, or almost crystal ball, almost weird, almost witchcraft. I see this and I see that. Or the tabernacle teachings with little of Jesus in them. Or the shake, yell, and scream till you get into the spirit. But what spirit? And I've been to meetings where they yell and scream and shout and roll and hallelujah, and they knock their wigs off and they go completely insane. And they say, brother, we got the spirit. And I said, yeah, but what spirit? I used to have that same one when I was drunk. God is not the God of disorder. Is he? No, he's not. And then you see the same people that yell and scream, hallelujah, and all of that. Now that's fine. But keep it in your own house and don't go out scaring everybody with it. Now I know what I'm talking about. One of these persons turn on you, it's almost like Congress. I don't know what I do wrong. They must discern something about me. And every time they come near you, think you're gonna weird you out with something. You know what I mean? Brother? And they start bringing their finger out and beckoning for you to come into their fog. Come on now. I left that when I left the smoke-filled bars. It's time now for reality in God. All kinds of miracles will happen when you're real. Faith teachings with no love to work it. If you get sick, you have no faith. You don't dare tell somebody, I got a headache. Where's your faith? I just tell them, I don't know, but I know where the headache is. It's up here in my head. It's such a joke. And if you take an aspirin, well, you just didn't have faith. And half of them that say that run around and hide and take aspirin. Put on a trench coat and one of them Fearless Fosdick hats and go into the drugstore. Give me a large 200 capsule aspirin bottle. Or what did you do to deserve this? I dropped a couple weeks ago, I dropped 300 pounds on this toe, smashed the toe, nail turned all black, and I didn't tell anybody because they'd say, wonder what you did. I didn't have time for it. So I just hopped around on one foot. Why are you hopping around on one foot? Oh, I'm doing penance. Oh, okay. That's great. You need it. Isn't that silly? But that's about it, isn't it? Let me say this. We have taken the Bible truths and made them a gospel, all right, but another gospel. When there is only one gospel, the gospel of Jesus Christ, know God's will through Jesus Christ.
There you have it. That was episode 286. That was part 1 of Promise 8. Be sure to join us on Sunday for the conclusion. Have a great weekend. God bless you.
To England or France, you may like to gamble, you might like to dance.
You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Maybe a rock and roll addict dancing on the stage, money, drugs at your command, women in a cage. You may be a businessman or some high degree thief. They may call you doctor or they may call you chief, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are, you're gonna have to serve somebody. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
You may be a state trooper, it might be a young Turk, maybe the head of some bigger TV network. You may be rich or poor, you may be blind or lame, maybe living in another country under another name, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Maybe you're a construction worker working on a home. Might be living in a mansion. You might live in a dome. You may own guns. And you may even own tanks. You may be somebody's landlord. You may even own banks. But you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve
somebody. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Spiritual pride. Maybe a city councilman taking bribes on the side. Maybe working in a barber shop, you may know how to cut hair. And maybe somebody's mistress, maybe somebody's heir. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil. Or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Might like to wear cotton, might like to wear silk, might like to drink whiskey, might like to drink milk, might like to eat caviar, you might like to eat bread. Maybe sleeping on the floor, sleeping in a king-size bed, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, you may call me Terry, or you may call me Timmy. You may call me Bobby, or you may call me Zimmy. You may call me RJ. You may call me Ray, you may call me anything, no matter what you say, you're still gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, and it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.